Hi. It's always nice to be in Jerusalem and happy to see the cops. Liz plays the piano just like 20 years ago, 10 years ago. She'll play like this forever. It's wonderful. As I grow older, more and more I realize that it is such a tremendous blessing to be connected to Jerusalem. Maybe the Jewish Israeli visa officers don't say that, don't accept that, but, you know, it's the Lord's land. If I say I'm connected to Jerusalem, I am connected to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. I don't care what the ministers of the Israeli government says. I'm just connected to the land of the Bible, and I'm happy about that. I don't know when I preached here last time, maybe 15 or 12 years ago. Exactly 10 years ago, in 2002 September, I took my family and went to Korea, my native country. I became a professor and I in a university, and I served as the president of that university for a while. And while I was doing that, I developed something with the Ethiopia, our church. I'm saying this a little bit, you know, about our family. I know many of you are traveling, you don't care. Who's that guy? Just talk about the Bible and get out. But some of you want to know what's going on with this guy. So, and I like, the Baptist church here, because as you get in here, nobody, you know, tells you to finish and go out. You talk here, just sit here and talk as much as you want. And then when you finish, you finish. In my church, it's not the way. You have to finish within 1 hour and then finish every and then you walk out, because we have 7 services every Sunday. We have 100,000 members. The church, when I stand up, we have 15,000 people in the sanctuary and another 15,000 in video rooms, you know, gymnasium, everywhere. But here, you know, it's a family, so it just talks. So, our church has we built a hospital in Addis Ababa, and now that became the best hospital in Ethiopia or in Africa. We did that to serve African people there. After 8 years of operating that hospital, now we built a medical college, and the Ethiopian government authorized it. So from this semester, we accept new students. Our pastor came here about 13 years ago and preached in this sanctuary, and the title of his sermon was God's Grace. And some of you might, maybe not, but some of you might understand or remember. So our church was doing that. And then I got involved in that, and then I am doing archaeology with Ethiopia in Aksum. Aksum is about 1 hour from the north of Addis Ababa, and that's the place where the Ark of the Covenant is. I thought it was a joke when I was student, but I went there and I studied more and more, and I realized it. It's not a joke. So maybe sometime later, if we have time, I'll talk about that. But today, that's not the subject. Since I left this country, many good things happened. My son Jason, who had the nephrotic syndrome, that incurable nephrotic syndrome, and was announced that probably he would die before age 10. But he is now 22. And hallelujah. And since last 5 or 6 years, he has no symptom. Nothing. It's clean. He's now at Taylor University in the USA, and he's a student leader. He's doing good. So praise God that he can heal physical problems. Hallelujah. My daughter, she left yet last night. I begged her to play at the church so I can be proud, but she doesn't care. You know, I am very poor because she drinks my money like water. I was stupid to give a violin, and she's a violinist. She's now at the Juilliard School of Music in New York. She skipped the high school years, entered the college. She's one of the youngest one in the history. So she's doing well. She thinks Israel is her home country. I don't know why, but she has a USA. Her mother is from the USA. I'm from Korea, but she thinks she is connected to Jerusalem. So it's her right to say that. Now, today I want to talk about this guy, Gideon. Gideon, you know this guy, right? Did you meet him? No, you didn't meet him, but you know him. When you hear this name, Gideon, what pops into your mind? What do you think of? Pardon? Stabbing whom? What? There is a keyword when you hear this name. Pardon? This name, when you hear this name, Gideon, you remember, automatically you remember 300 soldiers who were with him and fought the Midianites and saved Israel. Then what was the occupation of Gideon at that time? What was his occupation? Pardon? No! He had 300 soldiers. So what was his job then? General, correct. General, you're right. But you are also right. Before he became a general, he was a farmer, right? Randy Booth, my dear friend and my colleague at the Jerusalem University College, sitting there, and I feel like we are in a classroom, back in classroom again. Randy, I'm happy to see you. This guy was just a farmer. But then we remember him not as a farmer, but as a general, as a soldier. What happened between these two stages, that he was a farmer, but now he is remembered as a soldier forever. Now let's look at the Bible text. I'm going to read from Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 shows that I don't know when this was exactly, what year it was. Let's say about 1300 BC or what, 1200 BC, sometime like that, the time of Judges. And here, the country where we are sitting here is invaded by the eastern people. They were Midianites, they were Amalekites, and they were some other small groups of eastern people. They penetrated into the Jezreel Valley, where Nazareth, Mount Tabor, I'm trying to speak in English, Mount Tabor, this is English pronunciation. My speech talks is perfect American English, but I speak perfect international English. You speak perfect British English. But I love Israel because here international English is accepted. What's international English? Numbers and timing, you know, subject, they play all differently, you know, not related, but it's your job to figure this out, you know, whenever you hear this. Anyway, near Mount Tabor, Mount Moreh, Mount Gilboa, all this. Do you know what I'm talking about, this geography up there? And that's the place where, you know, crops grow, and that's the place, you know, it's a nice place. And they enter that way to steal the crops, the harvest. And the Israelites didn't have, they were Israelites, not Israelis. Israelis are now, They are Israelites. All of them dead already. These people are there, and they had to fight the Midianites and Amalekites, and somehow the Israelites were weaker, and they were hiding themselves in mountains, caves, and shelters, and strongholds, wherever they were able to hide themselves. And these Amalekites, they came into this country riding on camels. They were nomads. In our academic subjects, we know that the nomads and the sedentary people, they always fought. And when they came in, they swept this country from the Jezreel Valley all the way down to Gaza and killed people and killed donkeys and sheep and goats and cattle and took women and everything. It was a huge balagan. Balagan means chaos. Then there was a guy whose name was Gideon. He was a farmer. He wanted to harvest wheat to feed his family. But he couldn't do that because if he threshing in the field, then from way from there, the soldiers could see him and come and kill him and took all the crops. So he was hiding himself in a vineyard and a small amount of wheat he was hitting to get the wheat. Now, let's read verse 14. Do we have verse 14 here? Verse 14, please show. Okay. Okay, let's read it together. No, sorry. This is Judges chapter 11, sorry, 11. Chapter 6, verse 11. Okay. Let's read it together. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where its son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. Now, when you read verse 11, you can have an image of Gideon. What kind of man is he? He's not a bold man, is he? He is not an aggressive person, right? He was doing something, you know, hiding and the wine press, and you cannot, you know, harvest, you cannot thresh wheat in the wine press. Anyway, he was there. He was retreated. He was not aggressive. He was worrying about the situation. He just want to feed his family. This man is not an active person. But then there was an angel sitting next to him, and he was saying, let's see verse 12 together. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Mighty warrior. Mighty warrior. Mighty warrior. Now, God is telling you, mighty warrior. You don't think you are a warrior? You don't think you are something important? You don't think you can save the world? You don't think you can save the country? But God is saying something much different. God is saying, you are a warrior. This is God's viewpoint about you. So the title of my sermon is that View Yourself from God's Viewpoint. Not someone else's, not even your own, but from God's viewpoint, you have to see yourself. No one says amen. No one says amen. Maybe you are too touched to say that. But, you know, view yourself from God's. Now, Hannah came out and said, you know, the life is tough. Yes, I'm not 60 yet, but when I lived through this life, I realized that life is not a picnic. Life is tough. There are things to accomplish. There are enemies to attack you. Even in churches, there are problems. Not in this church, though. I'm talking about another church. Don't think, what's our church problem? No, not in this church. Chuck Cobb is a saint, so we don't have problems here. Hallelujah. You have problems, you know. It's like driving a car. You want to be on the highway, but the road is broken sometimes because of rain or whatever. There are some bandits trying to do something to you. The car breaks down. It's the problems. But it's your job to plow through and finish the journey. Hallelujah. You must become a warrior. You cannot hide yourself in a wine press area. This is totally different view than what Gideon had himself. Gideon couldn't believe it. Oh my goodness, what is talking about? You know, there are a lot of people committing suicide these days. You know, it's not everyone, every death is in the newspaper, but there are a lot of people dying. There are a lot of people disappointed in life. A lot of people lost hope. A lot of people has no energy anymore to live another day. They give up. I don't know what's on you today. What do you have on your mind today? What is your situation today? But God is telling you, you are not a failure. You are a warrior. Mighty warrior. Not just a warrior. Mighty warrior. You say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Until you're completely dead, don't try to die yet. Understand? You understand? Until you're completely dead, and after the doctor said you're dead, then you might die. But until then, don't die. There is hope, because God is with you. Here when he said, you are a mighty warrior, but before that he said, the Lord is with you. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. This is wonderful. You are with God. God is with you. That's number one. The God was identifying who Gideon was. He was giving him a new identity. We participated in this communion. Now we have a new identity. Because Jesus is with us. But next thing, I love this next verse. Let's look at chapter 6, verse 13. One verse. But it's a long, eloquent, like a snake. It's a long sentence. Let's look at it. This is the answer Gideon gave to the angel. And you read it and see, you are right here. Everyone was here. I was there. Let's read it. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. This is the attitude Gideon had. Now you can tell, if you have this kind of mind, this kind of idea, this kind of understanding about life, this kind of attitude about faith, then what kind of action you would have. This is a sad thing, but I love it, because this is the classical example of our response to life, to God, to Christianity, to our situation. But here we have six us. I say that if the Lord is with us, there's one us. Why did it happen to us, second us? Where are all these wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of Midian. There are six us. Six asses. I don't know how to say this. Six asses. No. God said to him, you are the warrior. God was identifying Gideon, but Gideon is generalizing it. Us, we are now in this situation. God, where are you? People say you brought us out of Egypt, but you are not helping us anymore. So he is generalizing it, us. He used the six us. Then God said, six us is despair. It shows his despair. Then this led him to disbelief in God. When you have this situation, all of us have troubles, you know. We are not eating well. We are threatened. There are problems. There are bad guys. You know, the money is going out. We don't know what to eat tomorrow. All these problems are pouring upon us. No, God is telling you, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. You are the warrior. Okay, I don't understand, but then we have to accept that. Now let's look at chapter 6, verse 14. Then God is saying it. God is saying it. Now in this verse, God is telling him, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you, Gideon. You. Okay, let's read it. 14. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. I am not sending you. He's saying, okay, your trouble, so you take your friends and go together. God is not saying that. God is saying, no, I'm telling you that you go in the strength you have. What are you talking about? I don't even know how to use a sword. I don't know even how to shoot a bow. God is not telling Gideon to increase his ability. God is not telling Gideon to amplify what he had. He's just saying that go in the strength you have. If you have this little bit, just to use that. Why? Because I'm with you. Am I not sending you? Again, God is telling him that I am with you. So here, you remember when there are several thousand people with Jesus, and there's one child who had five loaves of bread and two grilled fish or baked fish. I'm sure he didn't have raw fish. He had. So Jesus blessed them. And then everyone ate. And then got the leftovers into 12 baskets full. So it's not that the boy didn't say, okay, I'll go out and get some more fish. No, he just gave what he had to Jesus. And then he fed everybody. Here, God is saying that whatever strength you have today, just use that. Now, that's what we have to do. What the problem in front of you might be humongous. Maybe it's like a mountain. Maybe it's like ocean. Don't worry. Whatever you have, just use that to chip off that mountain. And God will come with you and remove it, destroy it. He'll make a highway in front of you. Hallelujah. I experienced this a lot, so this is, you know, from my experience in my life. When I entered the University of Chicago in the USA, that's a, you know, good school. Maybe Randy does not agree. He is from, you know, another big school. So, but anyway, I think, you know, Randy, Chicago is the best school, you know. Okay. But this is, I entered the archaeology program in the PhD with six American students. They all speak English, you know, fluently. I spoke English, you know. But after 8 years, I am the only one who graduated with a degree of a PhD. All my American students or USA students who spoke English fluently, they left because the program was too tough. I was the least guy who could do it, but I made it. Why? Because God was with me. He told me, okay, your English is not good. Okay, your ability is small. But do it with what you have. And I tried it. And I made it. When my son had this horrible disease, I mean, when he was 1 year old, 12 months old, and his body was swollen about double amount. And we took him to the hospital. And the doctor announced that he was born with this disease. This is a kidney problems. It was an incurable nephrotic syndrome. I didn't even know what nephrotic syndrome was. Now I know that kidney problems, it's just a very sticky problems. Almost every country had, you know, nephrotic syndrome problems, and it's very difficult to cure. The kidneys are not small, not big. They are small like this size. But if they go, you know, malfunctioning, you are going to, you know, either paralyze your life or you go underground. This is a big problem. But this is a mountain we couldn't handle it. Impossible. No doctor could help this. We went to the best doctor in the USA, best doctor in Israel. I thought that many doctors, Jewish doctors, got Nobel Prize. So maybe they can cure Jason. No, they said, we are hopeless as well. Impossible. Then I took my son to Korea. Maybe he was born in Korea, so maybe the Korean doctors can save him. No, the doctors had the same hopelessness was found in Korea. It was impossible. I had even worst, you know, announcement in Korea. But we didn't have anything. Sarah and I had no medical knowledge. We don't have no medical skills. We don't know relatives among us were doctors or nurses. But we just simply knelt down and prayed to God. Because that's what we had. Do you understand that this, you know, the family in despair, in helplessness, in hopelessness? But God was with us. Hallelujah. Do not underestimate that God is with us. This is the best news. This is the best news that God is with you. Maybe you wish to have more money. Okay, if you can have more money, that is wonderful. But if God is not with you, that money can disappear like vapor tomorrow. When your health gets bad, the money goes out very fast. All the things I have accomplished until today is because I have been healthy. It was a blessing. God was with me to give me good health. So be happy that God is with you. Hallelujah. I know you are hungry. I get excited, but you feel tired. So let's move on to the next point. But before that, point number two is God is identifying Gideon's mission in life. His mission is not just to, you know, harvest wheat. His mission is to save the country. But his attitude was very negative. But then God said, I am with you. Go in the strength you have. Now finally, number three, God is identifying how to do it, the method and the result in advance. He's telling you in verse 15 and 16. Let's look at verse 15 and 16. Gideon is saying again, pardon me. Every time he says, pardon me, Lord, pardon me. It shows that he is very, retreated. He's not, his personality is very mild and negative. He's, pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? Here, finally, he says, I. Because God said, you. Then he answered, I. But how can I save Israel? I cannot do that. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. When he generalized among his people, his attitude was negative. When he finally accepted that it was his job, then it shows that he cannot do it. So, here it's not moving anyway, but God is saying, God is moving on anyway. Verse 16. Now let's read together. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving no one alive. No one alive. Your enemy. No one will be alive. You have problems, but not even single problem will disappear. You will have more problems later, but this problem you have will disappear without trace. Whatever problem you have, if you know that God is with you, he's a third time, he's saying that, I am with you. Every sentence God says, I am with you. I am sending you. I am with you. So when you understand that God is with you, no matter how big the problem is, you are going to win the battles. You are not going to lose it. You understand? You understand? Don't utter negative words. Don't have negative attitudes. Trust God. God is with you. And move on. Don't kill what you have. Don't say, I have something very small and it's insignificant. Whatever you have, that is very significant. If you don't have anything, like Sarah and I did, just kneel down and pray. And that's what you have. And that will bring you a miracle. Here, God said, when Gideon said, us, six times, God said, you, five times. I counted this morning. God said five times, you. And then Gideon said, I, two times. So here, God said, you, five times. That means Gideon anyway. So when Gideon said, I, it means Gideon. So to cancel six us's, God said five U's, and Gideon said two I's. Finally, seven I's, figuratively seven I's, to cancel six R's. Understand? This is the structure. I'm sure my friend Randy will do better than I do. I'm an archaeologist. He's a literalist, so he can do better. But, I did a little bit of playing this morning, and it was interesting. Don't look at others. Look at you. God has been with you until today. It was you who betrayed him, but he never betrayed you. He fed you. He gave you health. He walked with you. All the airplanes you rode to come here, to go out, to come back, they were imperfect. They could have dropped any minute, but God held the airplane and took that way. That's why you are safe. It was not the airplane was perfect. It was not the pilot was perfect. It was God who held the bottom of the airplane who went that way and brought back. That's why Randy was standing here today. That's why I'm here today. That's why Hannah was today here. That's why Chuck Cobb was here today. Hallelujah. So I ask God to help us when you fly in the airplane all the time. All the time, hold like this. I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving no one alive. I have to end my sermon here, but you know, I'm not going to come back here. It will take another 10 years to come back and to preach. So give me a few minutes so I can add you a few items here. So Gideon said, okay, finally, I will do it, Lord. So what can I do? God said, okay, now if you want to do it, go out and then conscript soldiers. You collect soldiers. All right, I'll do it. So he sent email, you know, faxes out there, and then social networks he did. So about 30,000 more people came. God said, this is in chapter 7. God said, oh, there are too many people. Gideon said, what are you talking about? We're talking about only 30,000 people. God, do you know how many people invaded this country? Do you know how many people? If you go to chapter 8, verse 10, it, at least 135,000 enemies entered this country. 135,000 enemies. Then you need about that many soldiers to fight back. But God is saying that 30,000 too many. God told him that if there are anybody who is afraid of this war, and if anybody who wants to go back home, let them go. Gideon said, okay, Gideon was going home. God said, no, not you. Why not me? You are the general, you idiot. So except Gideon, some other kids, they said, if Gideon said, if you're afraid of this war, go home. Do you know how many went home? 20,000 people went home. So about 10,000 left. And God said, still too many people. Gideon was upset. God, what are you talking about? We have only 10,000. I'm trembling now. He said, no. If there are too many people, when you won the battle, you will say, we did it. Our strength, our wisdom, our power made it. And you will give credit to yourself, not to me, to God. So, I want you to put in an impossible situation. This is Mission Impossible. I want to put you in an impossible situation so that you will know, you will understand that it was me who gave you the victory, not you who earned the victory. This is in the verse. Now I understand why Danny drank so much water last time. Let's read verse 2. Judges chapter 7, verse 2. Okay. Okay. Let's read it here. I was doing favoritism. Now I'm going to do this way. Okay, let's read it. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into your hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Uh-huh. I now know that why my situation is so bad, why it was getting worse and worse, why there was nobody to help me. Because God wants to put me in a horrible situation. I'm sure there is a better English than I say to express. Thank you. God bless you. God be with you. Since she gave me 2 cups of water, I have to talk to finish these 2 cups. God wants you to give all the glory to Him, not to yourself. How many times do we glorify ourselves? In Acts, we read that this guy, Herod Agrippa, he was appearing in Caesarea. People said, wow, he honored him. The text says, in the New Testament in Acts, chapter 10 or something like that, since he did not ascribe the glory to God, he was dead after a few days. Here, we have a big problem. We always take credit for ourselves. God did it. Until today, there's nothing I did. It's God's grace, God's help, God's ability brought me so far, and He did it. Then Gideon said, so what should I do? He said, okay, take the people to the spring. If you go to the Jezreel Valley, there's a Harod Valley. There's a Harod Spring or Gideon's Spring. It's a beautiful place and with clean water coming out there. So he took there. And that was strange to, how to select the soldiers. To be a soldier, either you do good martial arts or good marksmanship or something physical. But here was strange. Let them drink water. And some drank like a, dogs. They took water and like this. Some of them just knelt there and then put their head on the water and then drank it. God said, how many are there? The guys who lapped the water is 300. The rest of them, about 9,700. Okay, send this 9,700 people. What are you talking about? Okay, send him home. So, okay, you guys go home. They were so happy they went home. But the 300 people left. God said, now you have soldiers. Now this is the troop. We'll save you and the country. God said here, this is very interesting. Chapter 7, verse 7. And then I'll finish my talk. Let's read it here. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that left, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. Here didn't say, altogether you will save the country. He says, this man will save you and the country. Why? Why did he say that they will save you? You think about it. This is your homework. You think about it. They are supposed together. They are supposed to save the country together, but God is mentioning that before that, they will save you. Because here, this guy, Gideon, had to be saved. He had to be God's person to do the job. Until now, he followed God passively, but he didn't understand God. He does not understand how great God is. God is almighty! God is almighty! Do you understand that? God is almighty! He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. Do you understand that? You need to be saved. So the fighting began. But this was an impossible fight. Why? How many soldiers were there? 300. How many enemies were there? 135,000 enemies. Then, if you divide 135,000 by 300, what's the ratio? That's 450-1. One soldier must kill 450 soldiers, enemies, to win the battle. This is not possible. Now, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Let's say you are a lady. You are coming home late evening. There's nobody around in the alley. And suddenly you saw 4.5 gangsters standing there. I don't know which half, this half or that half or this half, that half. I don't know. But there are 4.5 gangsters standing there. Hey, lady, come on here. Come over here. What would you say? Can you win this battle? Maybe you can. How about 45? 45 gangsters with knives, and some tools. They are waiting. They say, hey, woman, come on over here. What would you say? What would you do? Okay, maybe you can win this fight with the 45. But how about 450? 450 bad guys are around your home, and said, "Hey, woman, come on over here." What would you say? If I were that woman, I'd just collapse there, right there. It's better to collapse and forget that. That's the battle God allowed Gideon to fight. Maybe your battle today is bad, very bad, but not this much, not 450-1. Maybe 40-1, maybe 30-1, maybe 2-1, but not 450-1. So don't be discouraged. God is with you. God is not going to let you down. God will be with you. And He is God the Almighty. He's not an idol. He's not made of wood. He's not made of stone. He's not a matzeba. He's not a standing stone. He's not just imagination. He's not just our mental creation. God, our Yahweh, is omnipotent. He is the Almighty. He created us. He knows us. He understands us. He knows where we are going. He knows our problems. He knows how to solve the problems. He knows where the resources are. He knows where the people are to help us. He can take care of us today. The best news is that God is with us. I hope this will strike your heart today. I did my duty. Thank you very much.